It from the Mac commercials. I tried to find how to pronounce her name. All I found out was she's from Israeli heritage, born in France. I think it might be Yael Naim, Y-A-E-L-N-I-E-M. And I hope I pronounced that somewhat near what it's supposed to be, but I have no faith that that's true. This is BBS Radio. The show is Sound Health, and I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. We're coming up on our second anniversary with BBS Radio. Don and the crew have been great, and best of all is the audience. There's been incredible support for the show. Thank you for joining us over these last 2 years. We have a special guest today, Sally Fallon. She's the author of Nourishing Traditions, a most unusual cookbook, and a cookbook that challenged the ideas of the diet dictocrats and what they're trying to cram down our throats as good nutrition. We all know that line is crap, and Sally's going to expose them all. We're going to be with Sally in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. We have one announcement tonight, kind of long, but there it is. And the announcement is we want to give away trial versions of our personality profiler called Invoice. We talked about this on Thursday's show, Vocal Profiling Live, and we had such a great response. We want to give the people on this show, Sound Health, a chance to participate. So to get your free download of the program, write to radio@vocalprofiling.com or go to our website, NutraSounds.com, and let us know you want your free trial copy of the software. It's a full version, and you can do personality profiles for your friends, your family, yourself, your clientele, if you have a business. And if this works out, we're going to offer other free downloads of some of the other software that we have been developing here in the last year at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We've been developing some fascinating profiles, like BioDiet, which tells you all the chemicals you need for proper weight management. My favorite, as you guys probably already know, PREVAC, which helps us look at vaccination risk factors either before or after the vaccination. Anti-aging, and that program, it's already finished. We just need to get it in computer form. It's about inflammation, insulin resistance, telomerase, methylation, all the things that science says causes us to age. And we have another one that you could read two ways. It's either these X factors or these sex factors. That's information about the chemicals of sex and desire. Revoice, about recovering your voice from stroke or trauma or something like Parkinson's or Lou Gehrig's. Oh, I hope that's enough to intrigue you. Sally Fallon, welcome to Sound Health.
Thank you, Sherry. That does sound very interesting, very intriguing.
Well, thank you. If we get you hooked, that would be wonderful, because you're a great person. I can see you're going to make a lot of difference to the world with this new book of yours, Nourishing Traditions.
Well, I have to say, actually, we're almost coming up on our 10th anniversary of the book.
Of this book? I've never heard of it. I should be whipped. It's a great book.
That's better late than never, right?
What led you to write such an unusual, well, first describe the layout of the book and then tell us what led you to write it.
Well, the book, it starts off with about 60 pages of general information on nutrition that really breaks down a lot of preconceived ideas that's totally science-based. And then, and it has a lot of emphasis on what types of fats we should eat and which types to avoid. Then there's over, almost 700 recipes, and on every page of recipes is a sidebar with extra information about nutrition. We have ingredients quizzes throughout the book to kind of open people's eyes to what's in processed foods. And then there's several appendices at the end. And the book, I wrote the book along with Dr. Mary Enig to put the research findings of Dr. Weston Price into a practical, consumer-friendly form and to, of course, provide the recipes.
You traveled the world studying nutrition to get the information for this book. What did you find different?
Well, no, it's Dr. Price who traveled the world.
Oh, okay.
And that was back in the 30s and 40s. He was trying to answer this question, what is a healthy diet? And he based his decision about whether a culture was healthy on their dental health. If they had perfect dental health, that is virtually no cavities, and everyone in the tribe or village had naturally straight teeth, then he was assured that they had a good diet while the body was being formed and that they would enjoy good overall health throughout life. And then he looked at their diets, excuse me, and the answers he came up with were very surprising and completely contrary to what we're told is good nutrition.
Have you traveled the world and sampled foods from other countries?
Well, I can't say I've traveled the whole world. I've done a lot of traveling, and I've done a lot of traveling to get this message out as well.
I find foods in other countries taste different. They're like more solid or something. It's like the difference in a store-bought egg and a farm egg that we used to have.
That's absolutely right. The way the animal was raised, the way the food was handled or prepared, makes a huge difference not only in the taste but in the nutritional qualities. And I think a lot of the food, I think one of the reasons we find our food here so unsatisfying and not really tasting right is that almost all food that's processed or prepared in restaurants contains MSG, the fake meat flavor.
And
it's just, you know, it's like a, it's almost like pornographic food. It's a quick taste sensation, but with no real satisfaction.
One of the things that we found with MSG is it takes the place of glutamine in the system and really starts destroying the connective tissue.
That could be. It certainly wrecks the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes weight gain. In animal studies, they can make mice and rats obese by feeding them MSG.
Well, one of the things that I found while researching your book is that a lot of people slam this book, and I think that's an incredibly good sign.
Yes, right.
Because
right.
Most of it is people that claim to be nutrition-oriented, you know, the sugar industry and... the people who are selling all this canola oil and crap plastic and calling it food. So
right.
I'm really happy that there are people out there trying to stop it because those of us in the know that that means it's a really good book.
Well, there's actually lots of books out there that are justifiably critical of the vegetable oils and the trans fats and everything, but I believe we're the only one, or certainly we were the first one, to say the animal fats are good, saturated fats are good, and not only are they good, they're essential for good health. And the more the better, especially if these fats come from grass-fed animals.
We found a connection there with threonine and how it helps make the cholesterol lining in the gut and protects us against colon cancer.
Well, that's interesting. The cells of the gut are very rich in cholesterol, and one thing that happens when people start to lower their cholesterol is they develop digestive problems. We also put a lot of emphasis on gut bacteria, on eating fermented foods that provide the good bacteria in our guts. And, that also is very protective against carcinogens and toxins and pathogens and so forth.
What's the biggest lie that the establishment is trying to cram down our throat?
I think the biggest lie right now is that saturated fats are bad. And to eat a healthy diet, you really have to get over your fear of saturated fats. That would be the animal fats and also the tropical oils.
Well, when you look at what our ancestors ate, it was the animal fats, and they didn't eat all this crap that's being passed off and being used for a wheel lubricant in Canada.
That's absolutely right, and they ate lots of animal fats. You look back at the cookbooks in the late 1800s, and everything was cooked in animal fats. People were not afraid of them. No one had come along to demonize them, and the reason they were demonized was because of the vegetable oil industry, which started in the early 1900s, really got going right after the Second World War, and the anti-saturated fat agenda was just that. It was an agenda to demonize the competition. And very early on, this lobby, vegetable oil lobby, infiltrated the government, infiltrated the FDA, and the result is nutrition misinformation that's actually genocidal, because if you don't have the animal fats and the important vitamins that they contain in your diet, eventually you get infertility.
Oh. Has anybody tried to buy you off or threaten you?
No one's come close to me.
Okay. What's the difference between natural foods and organic foods?
Organic foods are raised according to certain standards of the USDA. Natural foods, gosh, there's lots of different definitions. For us, natural foods are traditional foods that are traditionally prepared and grown not only organically, but more than organically. You know, all organic does is ensure that there's not a lot of pesticides in the food. It doesn't look at soil quality, which is really a shame. So we put a lot of emphasis on soil quality and the animals being on grass in the sunlight. But I'm a little hesitant to even use this word natural because it's overused and improperly used in the food industry.
We take phone calls, and I'll give those numbers in a minute, but we already have some emails coming in.
Okay.
Here's one from a woman that says her father was part of a local farmer's market, and that he put fertilizer, commercial fertilizer, on his crops. And when she tried to talk to him about it, it's a really long email, I'm trying to summarize it, he said to her, "These people won't know the difference anyway. Can you ask Sally if how we can really be assured that we're getting organic foods
and beyond organic?" Well, we actually have thought about this problem a lot. Because you can't trust the government, you can't trust labels. And what we have done is set up a system of local chapters all over the country. These local chapters, their number one duty is to create a list of the foods that are available locally or semi-locally and tell people where to get them. And the way you can find your nearest local chapter is go to our website. That's westonaprice.org. And then click on local chapters and find the one that's nearest you. And almost certainly you'll find one that's near you.
Is it Weston?
That's his first name. So it's Westonaprice.org.
Okay. One of the things I see about mislabeling is they'll say, "This is fat-free," and then you look at it and it's Olestra.
Yeah. Which is the fake fat. And by the way, if it says mono or diglycerides, those are fats, but they don't have to label them as fats, so they kind of get away with that. But we're in favor of full fat products, full fat dairy products, meat with the fat, eggs with the yolk. The fats are there for a reason. Nature doesn't make mistakes.
Yes, except the avocado, someone said.
Why?
I don't know why they thought the avocado was a bad food or something.
Avocados are very healthy, yes. Uh-huh.
We had a lady here from Las Vegas, and she looked like a showgirl but older, and she came in because she had constant diarrhea and accidents, and it was really hard on her. And we started questioning her about her diet, and she was on a Jenny Craig diet, and we started looking at it, and it was full of this olestra.
Oh.
And one of the symptoms is not being able to contain your bowel.
Yeah.
So people need to really look at that. Here's another audience question. What's the difference between aspartame and stevia?
Well, aspartame is a chemical that they developed, and it's extremely dangerous. It's sold as NutraSweet or Equal. Stevia is an herb from South America, and it's naturally sweet. It's a natural product, and we have no problems with people using stevia as long as they don't overdo it. But stevia is a fine as a sweetener. But really, people should be using the natural sweeteners like maple syrup and honey, and we recommend dehydrated cane sugar juice. It's called Rapadura. Maple sugar is a good sweetener. Molasses is a good sweetener. There's really nothing wrong with eating naturally sweetened foods as long as they're made with good, real ingredients. And there's just absolutely no need for these artificial sweeteners.
So aspartame, from what I see, really wrecks people's joints.
Quite possible. It certainly wrecks their minds, and it's very neurotoxic. And once again, it doesn't help people lose weight. In animal studies, it made the animals obese, and some of the animals went blind. One of the breakdown products of aspartame is methanol, which causes blindness.
We saw it in the study we did on arthritis. The people who had the worst arthritis, not even osteoarthritis, were really heavy diet soda. And it doesn't take a diet soda now. There's probably 6,000 foods out there that just has aspartame in it when it really doesn't have to. They don't even advertise it as low sugar.
You know, you're absolutely right. In fact, things like yogurt often have aspartame in them that might not even be labeled. So once again, you just cannot trust the food supply, and that's why we have our local chapters make up their list of farms and help people learn to cook and make their own foods. And we also have a shopping guide that names brand names, and you can get that by calling our office or sending us an email. And the office number is 202-363-4394. And the email is info@westonaprice.org.
Okay, I want to give out the phone numbers. I'm going to write this down, too, because I'm going to put it in our description. The toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. The phone number in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 888-815-9756. There is a direct line, 530-876-3222, but a lot of our people want to email us. I just got an email. There's not really a question attached, but it says, listening from Japan to your Sally Fallon show.
Oh.
We've got listeners all over. That's
yeah, very
great.
Good.
Another question from the audience here. What do you think of genetically modified foods?
We're very much against them. This whole notion of genetic engineering is a kind of pride for which we're going to pay a very dear price. And it's all predicated on the notion that everything that we see here got here by chance and nature makes mistakes and man can do better. And that is not what Dr. Price said. He said life in its fullness is Mother Nature obeyed. And
yes.
And that's a very different philosophy from the one of genetic engineering. And the problems that we're starting to see with these genetic engineered foods tend to be digestive problems and growth problems in young people.
How did we get in this mess?
We got in this mess, as far as I understand it, there was actually a Supreme Court decision, it was back in the late 70s, early 80s, which allowed them to patent life forms. Up until that time, you could not patent them, and there was no sense putting any money into them, into genetic engineering, because you couldn't keep them, you see.
So it's money.
But it's the money, yes. Uh-huh.
In some of the reviews of your book, people stated that they disagree with you because they can't find pure foods, or it's too hard to prepare, too hard to find. How do you respond to that?
I think that people who have this point of view, either they're not sick enough or they need to change their priorities. Eventually, we're all going to have to do this if we want to survive and have children and have our children be healthy.
I'm seeing diseases happen quicker in generations. We had a grandmother who had breast cancer, and she was in her 80s.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The mother came in, she had breast cancer in the 40s, and
yeah.
Her daughter in her 20s.
Yes, that's exactly what we're seeing. It's exactly what Dr. Price predicted. And to the people who say, I don't have time to do this, or I can't find the foods, you can find the foods, and we've made it possible to find these foods. If you don't have the time, all I can say is it's very time-consuming to be sick, causes a lot of suffering if you, as a parent, die young and leave your children without a mother or father. I think people need to really look at their priorities.
We were working with a group of ADD kids, and so many times the mother says, take them off wheat, take them off milk. I can't do that. There's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crap.
Well, what we're trying to do is teach young people how to eat while they're preparing for pregnancy and while they're pregnant, while they're breastfeeding, while the children are little, so these things don't happen. It's very, very difficult to go back once you have an autistic or a behavior problem child. Now, there are lots of good things you can do, and some of them are quite easy. Just switching from pasteurized to raw milk usually makes a huge difference in a child's behavior.
We aren't allowed to sell or buy raw milk here in Ohio unless it says on for animal consumption only. Is there stuff on your website on how to get around that?
Yes. In Ohio, we actually recently won a very important court case that allows cow share and herd share programs, and that is you buy a share of the cow, and then you drink your own milk. It's not illegal to drink raw milk anywhere. It's actually not illegal to buy it. What's illegal in some states is selling it. But anyway, raw milk is widely available in Ohio and widely available in most states. You may have to make a little effort to obtain it. But it's there, and if you go to realmilk.com and look at the cowshare programs, or contact your nearest local chapter. A lot of the sources aren't actually listed at realmilk.com.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Sally Fallon, who wrote a book about nourishing traditions, but it's much more about getting good food into your body. I have another question from the audience. This is kind of a strange one. Do you address information about people eating too many nuts? I had a stroke and my vitamin K was very high. I ate mostly nuts and seeds. My doctor claimed that this high vitamin K from the nuts caused my stroke.
Well, I've never heard that before. I think nuts can be very problematical if they're not prepared correctly. And we teach people how to prepare nuts to get rid of all the enzyme inhibitors and the toxins in the nuts by soaking them in salt water for 6 to 8 hours and then dehydrating them. Now, it's very interesting about the vitamin K. Mostly you get vitamin K from animal foods, not nuts. In fact, I do not know that nuts are a source of vitamin K. I will look into that. But vitamin K needs to be balanced with vitamins A and D, which we get from the animal fats. We've done actually quite a bit of work on vitamin K, and there's an article on our website on vitamin K. Dr. Price called vitamin K the activator X. He didn't quite know what it was. But it's a very important vitamin to have in our diets. So I'm not quite sure whether this is a correct diagnosis for his stroke.
Well, it just looks like they ate nothing but nuts and seeds.
Oh, well, then I can think of all sorts of deficiencies that would have occurred. B12, vitamin A, vitamin D, cholesterol.
Do you think people should just eat raw nuts?
No, I think raw nuts can cause a lot of problems. We recommend preparing them, as I described, and we call those crispy nuts. They're raw, but they're prepared to get rid of the problems with the raw nuts.
Wow. I am just bowled over by the amount of information you're providing here. And the amount of people who are writing in. Another question. Could you talk about natural versus synthetic vitamins?
Well, yes. It's always better to do the natural. In fact, we don't actually recommend vitamins. We recommend what we call superfoods, and these are foods that are naturally high in natural vitamins. And our most important superfood is cod liver oil, which provides vitamins A and D in their natural form. Very often the synthetic vitamin creates the opposite effect of the natural vitamin.
So do you think people should pay lots of attention to carotenoids and flavonoids because of all the microwave stuff and free radicals that we use or produce, really?
I'm not quite sure of your question there.
Well, free radicals. If you eat the bad foods, your body produces the free radicals, but carotenoids and flavonoids tend to bind, well, berries and that kind of thing.
Oh, you mean antioxidants.
Yeah.
Well, the number one source of free radicals is vegetable oils. All the processed vegetable oils and then all the heated, you know, polyunsaturated oils. And they're the main things that we need to get out of our diet. Now, the antioxidants in plant foods are kind of a two-edged sword. You know, they don't always have beneficial effects. Some of them have thyroid-depressing functions. Your best antioxidant is cholesterol. And cholesterol is a powerful antioxidant in the cell membrane.
Well, this is saying a lot about Wendy's and McDonald's and all the fast food, where you see people going in and really training their kids to eat this food. And McDonald's doesn't help with all of these playgrounds they have right inside their stores.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I can just say categorically what Dr. Price said, life in its fullness is Mother Nature obeyed. And if you are eating factory foods, you will not live a full and optimum life.
Is there any way that people can eat out and still get good food?
It's a challenge. Definitely we would say try to eat in a little bit more upscale restaurant and eat very simple foods with, you know, ask for butter. Certain things you should avoid, like the soups, which are loaded with MSG. You know, just get simple meat, baked potato, butter, steamed vegetables. But mostly you should be cooking at home.
I have another audience question. Let me see if I can pare it down here. My daughter lives on peanut butter and rice cakes. She claims to be a vegetarian. I know she's not getting enough protein or B12. What do you suggest?
I would suggest that you call the office and ask for the latest issue of our journal, which is all about vegetarianism. And, you know, strikes at the myths of vegetarianism, talks about the nutrient deficiencies. The peanut butter and rice cakes is a pretty awful diet. The rice cakes themselves are going to cause problems.
What's in a rice cake to make a problem?
Well, rice cakes are an extruded grain, and the proteins in the grain can become very toxic when those grains are extruded.
So you eat... Should just eat plain grains instead of like puffed wheat?
Right. Once again, the grains need to be carefully prepared. So, for example, if you want to have oatmeal for breakfast, you would soak your oats overnight in water that's a little bit acidic, has a little vinegar or lemon juice added. And that acidity activates a lot of enzymes and helps to pre-digest the grains. Humans actually have a very simple digestive tract, and we have a simple single stomach, and we're not really designed to eat a lot of grains. But if we pre-digest them, by soaking or sourdough or whatever, then we can digest them.
So is this lack of preparation what's causing a lot of celiac disease and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. It's a combination of lack of proper preparation and lack of cholesterol and good animal fats to form the gut properly.
Is there this in your book also?
Yes, all of it's in the book. There's a lot on our website, westonaprice.org. We have a search engine there. We probably have answers to most of your questions. I also have on my own website, which is newtrendspublishing.com, I have a 5-hour seminar on traditional diets, which is a real good way to get started on this.
New Trends, that's plural, newtrendspublishing.com?
Yes, N-E-W-T-R-E-N-D-S publishing.com.
What do you recommend for leaky gut?
Well, leaky gut is something that needs to, needs a lot of time to heal. You need to get off the most worst offending foods, which is usually pasteurized dairy and grains. And you need to do a lot of healing. Bone broth, we highly recommend. You need to get the good gut flora in, the good vitamins, your cod liver oil. I actually have published a book called Performance Without Pain, which is a very simple dietary plan for healing the gut.
And they can get that from your website?
Yes, New Trends Publishing.
Okay. And how much is that?
Performance Without Pain is $15.95.
Okay.
And Nourishing Traditions is $25.
You know, I found it on Amazon for $16.40.
Yeah, and also both books are going to be heavily discounted on Amazon. That's fine. The author gets the same price, no matter how much they discount it.
Okay, in case you're just joining us, you can talk to Sally Fallon by calling us at one of the BBS numbers, 877-876-5227, or direct line 530-876-3222. And whoever's calling me on the line here, I am on the air on the radio. We'll call you back. I don't know who that is, but I can't answer the phone right now, so I'm just going to hang up on them to keep them from calling me back. Here's a question about cholesterol. What should it really be? What's the best sources? And how does cholesterol work in the system? So that's a lot of questions.
Well, first of all, your cholesterol levels don't matter. If you are a man under 60 and your cholesterol is over 300, you're slightly more at risk for heart disease, just very slightly. But otherwise, it's actually better to have high cholesterol, especially if you're a woman or if you're either sex over the age of 60. The higher your cholesterol, the longer you live.
They're trying to drive it down to like 150, 180.
This is dangerous. This is very dangerous. The last thing you need to worry about is your cholesterol. And it's the fear of cholesterol and the fear of foods containing cholesterol and saturated fat that is causing so many people to be unhealthy and driving them to the wrong foods.
You know, and the first thing you do when you go in the hospital and your cholesterol is over 200, they put you on Lipitor and the stuff that has so many side effects.
Oh, terrible side effects. That's a good reason to avoid the hospital.
So we get cholesterol from the animal fat?
Well, your body makes cholesterol, and it can also absorb a little cholesterol from your food, and if it absorbs cholesterol from your food, it just makes less cholesterol. Your body makes more cholesterol when you're under stress because it needs cholesterol to make stress hormones. The body's very wise, and you don't want to be lowering your cholesterol when you're under stress or you're trying to heal. Or you're, pregnant because you need cholesterol to build the baby and you need cholesterol for growth. And it's just we've really lost our way with this cholesterol thing. It's changed the practice of medicine. It's really put it on a downward slope.
And when you look at their recipes for it, or whatever you call how they make pharmaceuticals, a lot of time it's just aggrandized niacin.
Well, no. The cholesterol-lowering drugs are called statins, and they're not niacin. They are a drug that acts on the liver to make it stop producing cholesterol.
And then I have the name wrong because in the hospital recently they tried to put one of my relatives on a medication, and I looked it up, and they said it was to lower her cholesterol and to lower her blood coagulation,
mm-hmm.
and it was just niacin. Or,
well, yeah, then they do often give niacin or sometimes give niacin, but that's not the type of cholesterol-lowering drug that most people are getting today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a question from me. What's causing the milk allergies, and is it associated with ADD?
Well, what causes the milk allergies, certainly 90% of them, is pasteurization. Once you pasteurize the milk, you get rid of all the good bacteria, the enzymes. You warp and distort the proteins. One of the bacteria that's killed is a bacteria that produces something that helps break down casein. And we have found in our surveys that 9 out of 10 people who can't tolerate milk, who are allergic or so-called lactose intolerant, do fine on raw milk. And by the way, that milk should be whole milk with the fat in it because that's an important component for its digestibility. And yes, I do feel that pasteurized milk is contributing to ADHD and behavior problems. Even in animal studies, they found that rats on pasteurized milk were irritable and tended to bite, whereas rats on raw milk were friendly and didn't mind being picked up. And we've had numerous testimonials about the huge behavior improvements by getting children off pasteurized milk and getting them on raw milk.
And pasteurized is just heating it really high and killing all the good as well as the bad bacteria they think might be in it?
Right. Well, pasteurization is a rapid heating, and I really want to emphasize that. It's not slowly bringing the milk up to high temperature. It is rapidly heating. Pasteurization takes the milk up to about 170, and ultra-pasteurization takes the milk up to above the boiling point, which is extremely unnatural. And all of these components in milk are very precise, complicated protein type of molecules, and they're very easily damaged by heat. And pasteurization is not necessary. There are numerous components in raw milk that kill pathogens. You can add pathogens to raw milk and they'll go away because raw milk does not support the growth of pathogens.
Now, I was trying to study about how they got vitamin D in milk.
Mm-hmm.
And they run it under fluorescent lights, and it has this vitamin D come up from the lights for just a little bit of time, and then they test it, and then the vitamin D goes back down to wherever it was, and then they are allowed to send it out and say, vitamin D added or vitamin D enhanced.
Yeah. Well, of course, if the cows were in the sunlight and eating sun-cured hay and grass, and if the milk has all the fat in it, then it's going to have the natural vitamin D there.
Who started this idea that we needed pasteurization?
Well, it was the idea, of course, first came from Pasteur. It was first proposed back in the 1800s, and the man who really pushed it was named Nathan Strauss. He was the owner of Macy's. And he really pushed this. And it's interesting, at the same time, they had started the certified raw milk movement where people could get really good, safe, healthy milk from the country. But Strauss pushed pasteurization anyway, and it led to a big centralization and monopolization of the dairy industry.
So they do something to it so they can add more money to it?
Well, it forces the farmer to sell his milk to a dairy company rather than selling it directly to the consumer. So he can no longer set the price for the milk. And the dairy company tells him what price he's going to get.
Okay. I saw on one of your pieces of paper you sent over to us that there's a PowerPoint about milk and the FDA.
Yes. If you go to our other website, which is realmilk.com, right on the splash page is a big PowerPoint on the science, health, and safety of raw milk. And there's also our response to the FDA, which is a slide-by-slide response to the FDA's PowerPoint on raw milk, in which they talk about how dangerous it is. And what we found is that the studies they cite trying to prove that raw milk is dangerous were all of them very flawed and in 80% they didn't even have a sample from this raw milk.
What about soy milk and rice milk, almond milk?
Well, these are all fake milks, highly processed. They all contain synthetic vitamin D. And the soy milk presents special problems because of all the anti-nutrients in soy and in the estrogen-like compounds in soy.
No, I can't eat soy at all. It just whacks out my emotions. Okay, Don just broke in and told us the lines are out of order, so if you want to send in a question, and a lot of you have, and I appreciate it, it's radio@vocalprofiling.com. Another question just popped up about disease and nutrition. Is it really true about chicken soup and the common cold? Good question.
Well, it is a good question. Yes, if the chicken soup is really homemade from chicken bones and chicken feet and even the chicken heads, it has a lot of gelatin in it, this is a magic substance. It not only is very detoxifying, it's healing to the gut. And you were talking about leaky gut syndrome earlier. These homemade bone broths are really like magic for digestive problems.
So just hold. Throw the whole chicken in there.
You can throw the whole chicken, or you can eat the chicken and then throw the leftover bones in a pot.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Another question from the audience. Brad used to be the staff of life. Now I find it nearly indigestible.
Yeah.
What did they do to change it?
Yes. Well, originally bread was made by the sourdough method. And bread made this way, you know, with whole grains, is a very health-promoting food. And that's not how bread is made today. It's a very rapid rise. It's made with white flour. It contains soy flour, lots of additives, and it is not a life-sustaining food anymore. It, you know, what's happened with bread has happened with milk. It's happened with our meat. It's happened with everything in the food supply. And to the person who says it's too much trouble to go find these natural foods and to prepare my own foods, I say, you know, that's your choice, but there is no other way to be healthy than to eat real healthy natural foods.
In your website, you talk about finding milk. Is there alternative dairies? Is rice bread better than wheat bread, better than potato bread?
Oh, for your breads?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, some people do better on rye than wheat, for example. But it's really about how it's grown, how it's made into flour, how it's fermented, how it's prepared, how it's baked. You know, what the industry has done is take a process that should be a long, careful process and turned it into something that's very quick and uses a lot of additives.
Another question. I get raw honey, but I also see it in the grocery store. Is there a big difference?
Well, I don't know. Depends on where you're getting your honey and what you're seeing in the grocery store. It should say raw. And once again, in our shopping guide, we provide brand names of really good raw honey brands.
Here's another question I'd like to answer to, because we just did a preliminary study. You're talking about foods here. We did a study on people who drank water from plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
We took their vocal print before and after, and we found an incredible relationship with the frequencies that went along with asthma, and actually found a couple of people that when they drank this began to not breathe well and couldn't go up steps. Have you done anything with that?
Well, we haven't done anything like that, but, you know, this is absolutely fascinating. I think these plastic bottles are a nightmare. They leach phthalates into the water, which are estrogenic substances. I can well imagine that they would cause breathing stress. I know in our own household, I'm on a rampage about plastic. We finally found bottled water that we can get in big glass bottles, and we just don't buy anything in plastic.
You know, a lot of people in big towns just don't have much of a choice, but there's co-ops coming up now. There's little teeny stores coming up with natural foods. There's vitamins really coming out that are whole food vitamins. So I think people are beginning to be aware of more.
People are, I think there's an explosion of awareness. And I also feel that there's a lot more available today than there was even 5 years ago.
You know, there's a question here. I'm going to take a stab at answering it. What's the alternative to soda pop, potato chips, and snack foods? Well, what about fruit and raw vegetables?
I actually would answer that question very differently. I would answer things like raw cheese, naturally made salami, hard sausages, pâtés. These are the types of really nutrient-dense snack foods that people used to eat. And as far as soft drinks go, we are very aware of this problem of soft drinks, and we've done a lot of work on the healthy alternatives to soft drinks. And these were beverages that traditional cultures had. They were prepared by a process called lactofermentation. And these are beverages that put good bacteria in your gut and give you a lift without a lot of sugar and without caffeine and so forth. And there are some articles on our website, and there's a whole chapter in my book, Nourishing Traditions, on how to make these.
The beverages.
Yes.
What do you recommend to people who've had to be on a series of antibiotics to repopulate the gut flora?
Well, I think probably if they've been on antibiotics, they need to take some kind of probiotic to rapidly replace the gut flora. The lacto-fermented foods like sauerkraut, natural yogurt would be good for replacing the gut flora. And at the same time, you want to make sure you're not eating a lot of foods that feed the yeast, you know, like white flour and sugar.
Could you talk a little bit about acid-alkaline balances and give some examples?
Well, this is a theory that was actually popular in Dr. Price's day, which said that you need to eat a lot of alkaline ash foods like fruits and vegetables in order to maintain an acid-alkaline balance. This is a theory that it has no basis in fact. And Dr. Price himself said all of the cultures that I looked at and the people were very healthy, had no evidence of tooth decay or bone loss, had a lot more acid ash foods, those would be the grains and the meats, than alkaline ash foods. So people don't realize that maintaining the acid-alkaline balance is a very complicated process in the body. And it depends on protein, it depends on phosphorus, it depends on kidney function, and it really doesn't have anything to do with eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. In fact, you can be perfectly healthy and never touch a fruit or a vegetable. And the opposite is not true. You can't be perfectly healthy and not have animal foods.
You know, I fell into this trap, but it works for me. Every time if I think I'm getting the flu or the sniffles or something like that, I'll go on just vegetables, and it just goes away.
Well, I think there's a different reason for that. When you're getting the flu, your body doesn't want protein at that time because protein, you know, is hard to digest. I mean, you absolutely need protein. And so when you're getting a cold or a flu, your body naturally tells you, you know, don't give me a lot of these foods that are a little bit more difficult to digest. I mean, I would say the same thing if someone is getting a cold or a flu.
Also read a study, I think the guy's name was White, that did it, and this was for institutionalized kids, and they let them eat what they wanted, and in the beginning they ate a lot of desserts, but they eventually went to eating the healthier foods. So we have some kind of intuitive sense of what we should be eating.
Yeah, I don't know how good that research was. I think he sort of had an agenda there, but this, you know, natural instincts have been wiped out in us because of the processed foods. I don't think we can trust our natural instincts. I think we have to go back to teaching and you know, just learn what's healthy. And then after you eat the healthy foods for a while, and especially the healthy fats, we find that people's cravings go away.
Okay, here's another strange question. I live in New York. I'm thinking now that I need a window box, maybe tomatoes or herbs, but with all the pollution in the city, is that food going to be good for me either?
Well, I'm not sure that I would put my emphasis on tomatoes in a window box. I think there's a lot more important things to eat. But, yeah, they'd be healthy.
Well, they could grow, she could grow her, or I don't know if it's, he is a crisp. I mean, they could grow their own herbs so they could have nice, fresh herbs.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's nice to have those in your kitchen, for sure.
I don't even know how to ask this question. Can you have Sally talk about the epidemic of methylation or lack of in terms of bad foods?
This one's getting a little bit over my head. I know that there's a lot of things that block the methylation pathways, toxic metals, you know, vitamin deficiencies, but this is not my area of expertise.
Methylation, correct me if I'm wrong here, is sort of like all this stuff comes in and needs to be changed to a way that your body can use it.
Right.
And that's what that system is.
Right.
Like the iron in a raisin is not the iron that you may be needing, so your body has to change it in some way.
Right.
To make it usable. We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago. His name was Chris Cordes, and his son had some methylation issues, and he directed people to Dr. Amy Lasko about methylation. So, email person, you might want to try that. Or go back to look at our archives, and the guy's name is Chris Cordes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's information there on how you can get in touch with Dr. Lasko.
You know, the body will figure this all out if you're eating real foods and if you're supplying all the nutrients the body needs. I think it's just more important to focus on getting good nutrient-dense foods and preparing them correctly.
Well, I looked on Amazon, and like I said, the book is list price $25. It's $16.50 at Amazon. It's an incredibly great reference. I'm going to read you one of the reviews. I love a book that pulls together and validates a wide range of my opinions. So I think almost everybody on our BBS audience listening is going to agree with you about this book, and what you've talked about just fits into them. But you're offering a very practical way for this to do it. And the review goes on. While this book may not always be right, it is supremely valuable in its
provocative.
I'm having trouble talking tonight. My tongue feels like it's swelled up. That always happens when my potassium is low. It's also supremely valuable in demonstrating the value of some less common foods, such as sauerkraut, kimchi, and those kinds of things. Almost every review that I read had something wonderful to say with some little reservation. So I would say this is a book that all of you need.
Well, I've sold over 300,000 of them, so I must be doing something right.
Good grief. Sally, what do you want people to get out of this book?
Well, I want to give them the tools to have a healthy diet, to get rid of, you know, to clear away the misinformation, but my main concern is providing future parents with the information they need to have healthy children. And you know, it's possible. We can take the chance out of having children, and we have the knowledge about how to eat to make sure our children are healthy. It's exactly the opposite of what your government and your doctor is telling you. It involves plenty of good fats. It involves taking cod liver oil, eating liver and egg yolks, and all these good high cholesterol nutrient dense foods. It involves consuming salt. It involves consuming foods that support good gut flora.
Ellie, we're out of time.
Okay.
Give them an address where they can get in touch with you.
Pardon me?
Give them an address or a way for them to get in touch with
through WestonAPrice.org.
Okay, and do you have a consulting practice?
No, I'm not a practitioner.
Do you do workshops and lectures?
I do lectures all over the place. If they go to the calendar section of WestonAPrice.org, they'll find my upcoming talks.
Okay, and you can look at the archive of this show, send it to your friends, go to bbsradio.com. Go down to Archives. It's on the left side, second menu down, or second item on the first menu down. Sound Health is the show. It's all alphabetical. We'll be with you again next week. Thank you, Sally.
Thanks for having me.